Ezekiel 30 and 16. And I will set fire in Egypt. Sin shall have great pain. And N-O shall be rent asunder. And Noth shall have distresses daily. Amen. My text tonight briefly. Sin shall have great pain. That's the way it is, folks. That's the way it's going to be. What's it like living in a city called sin? Amen. Every sinner in the United States of America today is one step from the hospital, the psychiatric ward, the jailhouse, or the grave. Every family's in trouble tonight. They're just one step ahead of judgment. Amen. Pain knocks at their door daily. If it's not literal physical pain, it's that worst kind of pain, heartache, heartbreak, grief for children, grief for family, grief for husband, grief for wife. Why is it that sin has such great pain? I'll tell you why there's so much pain in Sin City tonight to get us to move out. Amen. To get us to leave sin once and for all, praise God. Sin is the name of a city in Egypt. Amen. No is the name of a city in Egypt. What's the analogy that you can draw from living in a city called sin and living in a city next door called no? You know why people live in a city called sin, spiritually, psychologically, or literally? Amen. They exist in a city called sin. I'll tell you why. It's because their life has been one great big no to God. Oh, they believe in God. They even believe in Jesus. They even celebrate Christmas nominally. Amen. And they've been heard to say, after cussing and telling dirty jokes, may God bless you, everyone. Amen. One character over 700 WLW, amen, can entertain a harlot, amen, and interview heathen, amen, and cuss and use four-letter words, amen, and then intersperse intermittently in his conversation, God bless America. Amen. You know what they're doing? They're saying yes to the thought of God, yes to the idea of God, yes to the idea of a blessing from God. But when it comes for God's recipe for salvation, they say no. Amen. I got my Bible back the other day that I'd given to my dad. He gave it to my sister-in-law, and so I traded her a brand new Bible to get it back. I gave it to him after he'd prayed with me the sinner's prayer in Veterans Hospital in Poplar Bluff, Missouri. I'd already preached out of it quite a bit, had it marked up, even had a message or two in it, and I got the thumbing through it about 3 weeks ago, four, amen, and there was my messages, and there was my markings, and amen, I decided now's the time to strike them up. I didn't know if they'd part with it or not, amen. But they did. I went back to the hospital after I'd given Dad the Bible a few weeks or a little bit later. I looked around for a Bible to read to my dad. I said, Dad, where's your Bible? He'd pray. He'd cry. Amen. But when it come to God's method of living for God, God's law and recipe and directive, God's roadmap, he gave it away. He said, I gave that to Jackie. Amen. There's a lot of people who want to go to heaven, but they don't want to follow the road map. And so if they don't live in a city called sin, they live next door in a city called no. They say no to God. Amen. And God says sin shall have great pain. Amen. What shall happen to people that live in no? No will be rent asunder. Someday God is going to take away all men's flimsy excuses by rending them in sunder. Amen. Not only did they leave sin when they left Egypt and leave no with a great big yes to God. Amen. They made the mistake that a lot of people make when they get saved. They drag the syndrome of sin with them. And no sooner did they get out of the land of Egypt and across the Red Sea by a miracle, everybody baptized in the Red Sea until they landed right between Elam and Sinai in a wilderness called sin. How did they move out of a city called sin and wind up in a wilderness called sin? I'll tell you how. They dragged it with them. They dragged sin with them like that old cow was dragging Randy through the cedar thicket. Amen. They dragged it with them. My God, many a casualty. Most of the casualties, if not 75% of the casualties, if not 90 or 99, amen, is the day, the week after they get saved. They drag with them that sin syndrome. Amen. They have left the city of their friends. They moved out. It was so great a pain and so much trouble. Amen. That pain drove them out of a city called sin. But then they're separated from their friend. They're separated from their old haunts. They're separated from their old habits. They're separated from those things that one time satisfied their appetite. Amen. They reach for a thinking man's filter. Amen. If they're not very careful, they're reaching for Budweiser again. And the next thing you know, they left a city called sin to wander in a wilderness called sin. Amen. Let me say this tonight. If you've left Egypt tonight, you're rent for Egypt. If you left Egypt and started for the promised land, and you stay in that wilderness called sin, you got the worst of both worlds. Amen. Did you know that's just exactly what happened to the children of Israel? Many of them died in a wilderness called sin. They can never go back and live in the world anymore. They can never go back to Egypt anymore. No, they had already tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Amen. And something stopped them short of being cut off from going back to the garlic and onions of a city called sin. Amen. And so you know what they did? They sat right down in the wilderness and grumbled and murmured and complained in a wilderness called sin. It was in this wilderness called sin, amen, that they grumbled because they didn't have any meat to eat. Amen. And God in Exodus chapter 16 gave them quails knee deep, amen, for days on end. They ate quail until it came out their nose, until they vomited quail. Amen. What is a wilderness called sin? It's a professed Christian still following the flesh. There are multiplied thousands of professed Christians tonight. They're rent for both worlds. Amen. They can't go back full-fledged whole hog. Amen. To sin. And so they try to drag the works of the flesh into the church with them. They murmur and grumble and complain. Amen. The preacher's preaching on righteousness, separation from the world, upsets them. Amen. And above all, they don't want their children to get discouraged in this wilderness called sin. And so they murmured against God and they murmured against Moses. And you know what? God gave them what they wanted. The worst thing that can happen to the average John Doe Christian today is for God to give him everything he wants. You'll never go on to the promised land if you get satisfied in Elam and in the wilderness between Elam and Sinai. Amen. Oh yes, praise God. They got up to Sinai and they got organized by the law. Amen. That's what the average John Doe church member clamors for. They clamor for organization. Amen. They say we've not got it all together in the independent, undenominational churches. Amen. You know what they're saying? They're saying God's not enough. Jesus is not quite enough. The Holy Ghost is not enough. Amen. The good services with the move of God is not enough. If we don't get some organization, amen, this thing's going to fall apart on us. No, it won't. The church is held together at the feet of the cross by Jesus Christ Himself. It's His body. Amen. So God gave them the law. Boy, they got organized all right. I mean, they got so organized, amen, that they had so much organization they couldn't hardly see over it, out from under it. Amen. It became a tremendous load for them to carry. And so then they began to look for loopholes. Amen. Amen. God said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Amen. But then their hearts became hardened. And because of the hardness of their hearts, God gave them the writing of divorcement. If you married a wife and you found some unpleasantness in her, some uncleanness in her, something you didn't like about her, she burned the biscuits in the morning, amen, 2 or 3 times in a row, you could give her a writing of a divorcement and get you another one. A lot of them, they didn't want to give a writing of divorcement, so they practiced polygamy. Amen. In this wilderness of sin, they found a loophole. Amen. Yeah, you could have 15 wives. Amen. One old retired Church of God preacher told me, he said, if I was going to be anything beside Church of God, he said, I'd be a Mormon. He said, you could have 15 wives. With all them women working and bringing home a paycheck, you could play golf all the time, he said. Amen. The children of Israel looked for loopholes. Amen. But their loopholes brought them pain. Their loopholes brought their kings dishonor. Their loopholes brought their rulers dishonor. Their loopholes defiled the priesthood. Amen. They were not satisfied with their own organization. Amen. God had to cancel it all out at Calvary. Why? Because it was weak. It didn't suffice to sanctify the soul. We needed something better, praise God. We're going to have to move out of the city called sin. Amen. And we're going to have to quit trying to drag the world along with us into the church. Because if we do, we're going to become a bunch of murmurers and complainers right in the house of God. Amen. Praise God. In the midst of it all, in their hunger and their want and deprivation and that wilderness of sin, God gave them a taste of heaven. Thank God that He maketh us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In the morning they woke up. Those that woke up early enough found it still fluttering down, falling on the ground. Amen. The ground, the trees, amen, and the shrubbery was covered with angels' food. They called it manna. Amen. God said, if you keep your eye on the promised land and keep traveling on, I'll feed you manna every day. Amen. You'll be able to gather twice as much on Friday. Amen. So you can rest on Saturday. Amen. And so they declared Sabbath. And their manna lasted over the Lord's day, the Sabbath. Amen. Until they got in Canaan's land. Another meaning for the word sin is missing the mark. Amen. One way you miss the mark, you guys that shoot a bow and arrow know that if you don't know your windage, if you don't know your yardage, amen, your arrow will fall short. He said, take heed in the New Testament, lest a promise being left us of entering into that rest, any of you should seem to come short. Amen. One way we sin is come short. Many of them, in fact everybody, 20 years old and older, amen, died in the wilderness. They come short of the promised land. They made it so hard on Moses, the pastor, that congregation, amen, that Moses got dragged down by their misbehavior and smote the rock contrary to the command of God. Moses came short of the promised land on that account. However, he did get to go in a little bit later. Yonder on the Mount of Transfiguration, praise God, where the power of God coming down and Jesus' garments became glistening white, he transfigured before three of his disciples, and there appeared Moses and Elias talking with him. Woo! Moses finally made it in. Aren't you glad, despite the fact we've left a city called sin and its pain and wandered in a wilderness of failure and wrecks everywhere? Praise God. If we'll live for God and keep our sights on the promised land, we'll make it after a while. Amen. We'll be transfigured with Him. Praise God. In the first resurrection. A whole city missing the mark. A whole country missing the mark. A whole nation missed the mark and didn't get to go in. And God forbid tonight that a whole church would miss the mark by seeming to come short of what God has promised. Amen. A.W. Hoser said, if we may be filled with the Holy Ghost, we must be filled with the Holy Ghost. Maybe I need to quote that again. If we may be filled with the Spirit, we must be filled with the Spirit. Why? Amen. Because if we may, we cannot ignore it and not sin. If we may, if we're invited, amen, to be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, amen, then there's no excuse for us not being filled with the Spirit. If we know how to keep from getting drunk, how do you keep from getting drunk? You don't drink it. You don't buy the bottle. You don't go where it's sold. Amen. You don't dabble with it anymore. Well, everybody here knows how to keep from getting drunk. By the same token, everybody here knows how to get filled with the Spirit. Drink it. Drink it. Keep drinking it. Drink in some more of it. Amen. Until it runs over. Praise God. It becomes a river flowing out unto everlasting life. Praise God. If we may be filled with the Holy Ghost, we must be filled with the Holy Ghost. We can't ignore it and be safe. Can we ignore the promises of God? Could Moses and Israel ignore Canaan? Amen. Two of the tribes decided to camp on yonder side Jordan. Amen. But Joshua said, you can't do it till you help your brethren conquer the land. Amen. You got to go on this side. You got to get a taste of this side. The wonderful thing about it, if you get a good taste of the anointing on this side, you'll take it back with you over to the other side. Praise God. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be a heavenly seasoning wherever we go? Wouldn't it be wonderful to carry a blessing from heaven everywhere we go? Hallelujah. They were to help their brother Ephraim and Manasseh, were to help their brother conquer the territory that God had promised. You ever see anybody pray through real good? Amen. People of God pray for them, hold their hands up. Amen. Them go back to the church and sit down, not help anybody else from there on out. Amen. If God saved you, you need to save somebody else. If somebody prayed for you, you need to pray for somebody else. If somebody helped you, you need to help somebody else. As I quit that church, they're not helping me. No, the problem was you wasn't helping them. And you're dissatisfied. You became disoriented. Amen. You became dissatisfied. You couldn't stand to look at yourself in the mirror anymore because you were not being fulfilled. Amen. You can't twiddle your thumbs and enjoy Canaan. This is not a welfare state. Amen. You had to fight to get it. And you got to fight to keep it, praise God. God left some enemies alive in the land. He said that this new generation might learn war. Amen. We're facing this prospect tonight across the board in Pentecost. See if you agree with me. Sons and daughters of a fifth generation Pentecost raised right in church have decided later on down the road, my mom and dad made me go to church. My mom and dad made me embrace old time religion. My mom and dad crammed wholeness down my throat. Amen. And so you know what they're doing? They're going back to the city called sin. They forgot the pain. They never did know the pain. But they're about to find out. Amen. God said, I'll set fire in Egypt and sin shall have great pain. My God. Hell to go to hell in. Did you ever see anybody got burnt? Did you ever get burnt? Bible says, can a man take fire into his bosom and not be burnt? Amen. No, you can't go into another man's wife and not be burned. You can't take fire into your bosom and not be burned. Amen. I'll tell you what you're going to do. God said, I'm going to set fire in that city. And sin shall have great pain. Judgment of sin is a terrible thing. The wrath of God that cometh upon the children of disobedience is a terrible thing. Amen. Oh, and if you think your pains are bad, wait till your children begin to dabble and partake of the same things that you licensed. Only they go deeper and deeper. Amen. You laid the stumbling block. Amen. And now the little ones have stumbled into the same trap. Pain, misery, sorrow. Woe, woe, woe worth the day, the prophet said. Amen. Why? The Bible said, there shall be sin shall have great pain, and no shall be rent in sunder. Whole families missing the mark because the father wouldn't take his place in the family like he should. He wouldn't take the lead in the family like he should. Amen. The leader father and the wife mother, amen, wouldn't take their leadership like they should. And so now the children are following in the wake. There's no spirituality. There's no fear of God. There's no shout of glee or joy in the service of God when the songs of Zion are sung. Why? Because the children, amen, have been raised in front of the boob tube. They've been entertained by the electronic media. Amen. Their minds and hearts and lives have been warped and shaped against God. Anti-old time religion. Anti-Bible. The Bible's boring. Prayer is dullsville. Amen. Going to church. Oh, you mean we got to go to church again? What's wrong? A whole fifth and sixth generation in Pentecost is rebelling against their upbringing. The devil has sold them a lie and made them believe it. And my daddy and my mama forced me to go to church. My daddy and mama didn't tell me that sin was going to be like this. And we never did say anything else but what there was pleasure in sin. The Bible said Moses made a choice to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. There's always enough to keep you coming on. It's always enough for the devil to sell you a bill of goods, but you're a fool if you buy it. The fool said in his heart, there's no God. Amen. Oh, these modern day wise guys that have come and gone from the place of holy, the holy. They know more about the church than you can tell in a week's time. Amen. Yeah, they've seen it all. They know it all. They can tell you all the faults in the church and all the hypocrites. But they never do anything to help it. They fail to realize that they're just another one of them themselves. They're another one of the liabilities of the church instead of an asset. Amen. I'll tell you what, if I looked around in my carnality and my naked fleshliness, amen, and decided the church wasn't where it ought to be, I'd get straightened up myself and try to help it a little bit. Amen. But men look for an excuse. And they go back. But I want to tell you, you're ruined for both worlds once you cross that baptismal river. There is no going back. To go back to Egypt is to invite pain and eternal damnation. Pain in this world. I know about it. Randy Jones told you about cradling his father in his hands. He thought he was dying. Amen. A leg missing because of smoking and drinking and a tumor the size of a grapefruit in his head. Amen. But still, he's not praying. At least, last I heard, amen, still won't give his life to God. Amen. You can go so far in sin till you be like the old man that was ashamed in his dying hour to call on God. He said, no, I didn't live for God all my life, and I'm not going to call on Him now. Don't do that to your life. Don't do that to your family. Don't do that to your mother. Don't do that to your daddy. Don't do that to the people that love you. Cry out to God. Walk, crawl, any way you can get there. Wrap your arms around the old rugged cross and don't let it go. And if the devil tells you you can't live for God, say, rejoice not against me, O my enemy, though I I fall, I shall arise. I'm coming out of here. I'm going to live for God. If anybody did, I can. And in Jesus' name, I will. Stand with me tonight and let's pray. Amen. Move out of that city called No. I saw Marvin Barnett frame the words No with his mouth to Sister Rosie Hatfield. As I looked back, she's begging him to come to the altar. Time after time I saw him shake his head and frame the word No. No. Sister Rosie told me as I rode home with them that night what he said. He said, I know how to get saved. I've been saved 3 or 4 times already. I get saved when I get ready. No. No. A few days, Marvin Barnett got to fight with his son-in-law. His own daughter egged it on. Grandpa whipped the child. She said to her husband, you going to let him treat your child like that? He got in a fight with his son-in-law. Marvin was old, so he got out his knife. His son-in-law didn't want to fight that knife, so he grabbed a half of a brick. In the first lick, he hit Marvin up the side of the head. Marvin didn't come to out of his coma for 3 months. When Marvin came to out of his coma, all he could say was no. He lived in that dreadful, painful city called No. The closing days of his life. Do you feel good, Marvin? No. Do you feel bad, Marvin? No. That's the only word he could frame on his lips. No. That's the words he framed that night Sister Rose invited to an altar. No. Many a time they brought him into my church. I was a teenage pastor. Many a time the saints gathered around Marvin Barnett and prayed for him. He'd try to talk, and all he'd come out with was a string of, no, 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 no. All he could say was no. Leland Carter buried many a person. Thayer, Missouri, and Mammoth Spring, Arkansas. Owner, Carter Burial Association. Our family all paid into it through the years. He said, I'm not a praying man. But he said, I don't want to die the kind of death that Marvin Barnett died. Don't get hung up in a city called No in rebellion against God. Oh boy, when I get 18 years old, how many dozen kids are out of the highway home that said, I'm going to do as I please. Dozens of them. Their lives are wrecked tonight. They're wretched and miserable tonight. They can never recover honor again. They can never recover self-esteem again. They can never recover virtue again. They can never recover outside of amazing grace and return to God's altar. What they one time felt of the good things of God. If you was raised in church, you better not leave it. If you was raised in the fear of God, you better not leave it. It's a jungle out there. Kind of jungle. Pain. Misery. Sorrow. Irreparable harm. Tears. Heartbreak. Premature grave. Amen. Why is it so painful in a city called sin? To encourage you to leave. Move out. Move out into Canaan tonight. Strike out tonight. Take a shortcut. Do everything the people of God tells you to do. Leave it all behind. Everybody behind. Don't even give it a second thought. And go all the way with God, Father. Help my friends. I plead for them. I claim them for Jesus' sake and for the glory of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. I preached Marvin Barnett's funeral after praying for him many, many times. Never did get satisfied that Marvin had accepted the Lord. I didn't know whether he had the mentality or not. I may have to preach yours. Don't do me that way. Don't leave us hanging in doubt tonight. Make your calling and election sure. If you do, amen, then we can be sure. As they say, we invite you to an altar of prayer. It's not that far, and it's not that hard. Amen. And you need to come to the altar. If you haven't been in the habit of it, you need to come to the altar. You'll help somebody else to come to the altar if you'll come. Come on. If you mean business about living for God, you need to come to the altar right now. Amen.
So don't.
You'll not get too much. You'll not get too much. You'll not get too much.
Or when it's too late, you will learn.
You mean to tell me that you can't bring yourself to break down that wall of flesh that keeps you from really committing all to God and get down on your knees and cry out to Him no more?
Of no return. By men unseen, that crosses every path, and it marks the boundary between God's mercy.